I'd like to begin in the book of Psalms. Psalms, the 33rd chapter. Begin with the 6th verse. 33 and 6 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." That's quite a God. That's summarized in such a few short words. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. You ever stop to think about, I hope we do, the power that's in the word of God, the power that's in the word that he's able to speak, by it, by the word of God, the heavens were made. And all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth, the exceeding greatness of his power. Maybe we'll read that scripture a little later. That the Lord is able by his word, by the words that he speaks, all the power that it carries with it, that he can make the earth tremble. He can make the earth open up and gape apart. That he can cause the depths of the earth to be opened into fountains of water. And he can bring a flood upon the whole earth. That he's able. One song says, all of heaven stands at attention. When the name of Jesus is mentioned, there's power in that name, and there's power in the word of the Lord. I want us this morning, and I believe the Lord would have for us, to have a good, clear vision of what a mighty God that we serve, of the power that the Lord that we serve has. Scripture talks about how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who publish good tidings, that bring the gospel of peace, that say unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Sometimes we need to be reminded. Sometimes the Lord knows that I need to be reminded every once in a while, because life has a way of causing me to lose sight of causing me to forget that maybe I still know in my mind, I still have a knowledge of the fact that we serve a mighty God as we sing from time to time. But Lord, help me not to lose sight of it when I face my problems. Whenever I face my trials and my troubles, the Lord wants us to not only have a knowledge of how great he is, but the Lord wants that greatness to be able to work in our lives. The power of the word of the Lord. The Lord spoke, and it was done. That's all that there was to it. And he commanded, and it stood fast. I'm thankful that the word of the Lord is that strong. I'm thankful that the enemy is not able to unravel it. Now, whatever the Lord does, the enemy's just right there to come along behind him and undo everything he does. You know, it seems like sometimes law enforcement is about that way. It seems like we notice how often bills have to be changed. Every few years, it seems like a new bill is being produced to try to stay a step ahead of the counterfeiters. You have to make changes that make it more complex and more difficult to counterfeit, and it just takes a little while before they catch up, before they figure out how to undo that, how to override that. But folks, the Lord is able to do a work that the enemy is not able to undo. The Lord is able to speak, and it remains. The word that the Lord has spoken, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. The Lord has spoken, has decreed, and his word will not change. However, the enemy may try to alter, to come against it, to withstand it, to oppose it, The word of the Lord has never changed, nor will it ever. No matter how the heathen may rage, no matter how the nations of the earth may band together in confederacy against the Lord, there is no power that has overthrown him. There is no power that has been able to overthrow the words that he has spoken and bring them to naught. No decree or counsel of man has ever been able to come and say, the word of God is of none effect anymore. The scripture says, what shall the unbelief of some make the word of God of none effect? God forbid, let every man be a liar. But God is true. His word is true and is sure and is forever settled in heaven. And because of that, our foundation stands sure. It stands firm, and we can build on something this morning that's sure. It's a foundation for us. You know, every building needs a foundation. Every building needs something firm to stand on. You can build a building however beautiful by appearance, and if not built on a foundation, the time will come that it's brought to nothingness. I don't want my life to be brought to nothingness. I don't want my experience with the Lord to be brought down to nothing. And you know it doesn't have to be, because Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. While the Lord begins, he is able to complete, and as Paul said, he's able to perform it until his appearing. The Lord is able to keep every one of us, no matter what the enemy may bring against us. The Lord is greater. What does the scripture say about he that is within us? Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. There is a greater power, a greater force. The enemy has power in the kingdom of darkness. There is a power associated with it. But I am so thankful to know one that is greater than it all. I am so thankful to know I don't have to fear and tremble before the powers of darkness. If I know the power of the God of light, I don't have to be afraid of what this world has in store. I don't have to be afraid of what's in the future, because I know the one who holds the future. Because I know, as one song I believe says, I've read the end of the book and I know how it ends, something like that. I know how this thing ends. If I'll keep my faith firmly fixed and grounded in him, my burden this morning is about our faith. That our faith would fail not. That it would be strong and firm and established. James said that even the devils believe. And his point was, I believe that just having a belief is not enough. He said the devils also believe and they tremble. The devils know. Satan knows. The powers of darkness know the limitation of their power. They know the limitation. They know how far they're able to come. They know that they're not able to go beyond. You know, we see it in the example of Job. The enemy with every one of us, if it were permitted, he would destroy every one of us. The enemy has no benevolence. He has no feelings of softness or tenderness or kindness to any one of us. If he had his way, every one of us would be destroyed to the uttermost. But in the case of Job, we're able to see a picture of that interaction between the devil and God, where the Lord said, this is as far as you can come. This is a God that's able to put a bound on the waves and say, you come no further. And they don't go beyond that. He can speak to the enemy and say, you go no further. And he can go not beyond that. He said, you've put a hedge about Job. And it was a hedge that he was not able to overthrow. That he was not able to go beyond. We have a strong city, Isaiah 26 says. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks, for protection, for a hedge about those of us who are saved. The Lord has put a protection about us to keep us from the enemy, to keep us from the noisome pestilence and the destruction that wasted the noonday. The Lord has a way to protect and keep every one of us from this overflowing scourge, from this destruction, from what the enemy would try to bring against every one of us. One scripture speaks about it as a flood. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. You know, the flood waters, whenever they rise enough, they just keep on coming with it. And isn't it amazing the power that water has? The force that water carries with it. If you've ever seen the destruction, pictures of destruction after a tsunami. Whenever a wave of water just overtakes everything in its path. Buildings are destroyed and trees are ripped up by their roots and it just leaves a path of destruction in its wake. Folks, we're facing a flood today. We're facing some flood waters and we're going to have something to keep us. We're going to have something to keep us firm and established. And there is an experience with the Lord today where the Spirit of the Lord can lift up a standard, can say to the waters, you go no further. This is your bounds. You can't surpass this. You can't go beyond this. I want to be able to dwell in that place. I want to be able to be in that secret place with the Lord where the enemy cannot touch, where the enemy cannot, he can't bring evil here. The enemy cannot invade this space that the Lord has given to me. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard, and it's a promise unto every one of us who believe. Jesus told Peter, I want us to just get a little picture as we begin of the power that God has. He told Peter, he said that upon this rock shall I build my church. Folks, there's a rock today. It wasn't Peter. Peter wasn't much of a rock in himself. Whenever he started being made fun of, Peter changed his tune. But there was a rock that Peter too found. There was a rock that Peter built his life on. And that same rock avails for every one of us today. That rock has not changed. It's not been eroded. It's not been washed away like the quicksand that the world builds on. But there is a rock upon which Jesus said, I'll build my church. As we mentioned a little while earlier, that what man builds with the building of his hands, man can tear down. What man builds, man or the enemy can be able to tear down, but what God builds, he intends to not be destroyed. And he said, though the gates of hell should try to prevail, his words were, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell and everything that the enemy tries to unleash. And it seems like in our time we see, and I know the scripture says there's nothing new under the sun, but the enemy, it seems like, is unleashing on every hand in our society. It seems like we see almost like the floodwaters that are coming upon our nation and our society. One after another, things that once were monuments of truth, things that once people looked at and said, this is a way mark. This is something that it's who we are. We have a respect for the sanctity of life. We have a respect for marriage. We have a respect for God in our institutions of government and of learning. And we have a respect for these things. But we see the floodwaters that are starting to come in. And the floodwaters are starting to prevail in our world today. The floodwaters, it's like we can see one after another that are being ripped up, that are being overflowed by the water that's coming on. Folks, we too can be affected. But the Lord has an experience for us. The Lord has something for us that I don't have to be swept away. That I don't have to be swept off of my mooring or my foundation. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Against what I build, there is something that'll that'll keep it regardless of the ages, and how many changes of kings that have risen up against Christianity and of religious movements that have risen up and said we'll overthrow it, and against religious confusion of Christianity that the enemy has tried to use to suppress the truth over and over and over. We've seen the enemy trying to stamp out the work of God. Oh, for many people it seems he's been successful. That he's gained some inroads in our society. And may I say even among us today. But may the Lord help us that we not be swept away. That my faith would remain strong in the Lord. That whenever those floodwaters come, I won't be swept away. I'd like to look now at the book of Mark. My prayer this morning is that we'll be both encouraged but challenged. Because, folks, the Lord is strong. The Lord is mighty. The Lord is able to speak and it's done. He said there's nothing too hard for God. Do we believe that this morning? Do we believe there's nothing too hard for God? It's one thing to say it. It's one thing to think it. But folks, the Lord wants it to be a reality to every one of us. The Lord wants it to be a firm conviction down inside. And that firm conviction will be manifested. That firm conviction will be shown by the peace that it brings in my mind, in my heart. Whenever the tests and the trials come, whenever perplexities come in life, it'll be manifested by the calm assurance. And I might need to be reminded. I might need the Lord to inspire my faith, to remind me again. But there is a place in the Lord that I can be firmly grounded regardless of what comes. Mark chapter 9. I'd like to look here at beginning in the 17th verse, may not read all of this. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. What a bold spirit. Even before Jesus, he's going to do everything that he can, demonstrate and try to destroy right in the face of Jesus. But his time was numbered. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Aren't you thankful the Lord will hear a prayer like that? Aren't you thankful the Lord will look upon a heart that's in trouble, upon a heart that's crying out to God? But I want us to notice what he said to Jesus. If thou canst. Can you relate to the distress the father's feeling? Maybe we haven't seen this exact experience, but can you relate to the feeling of being at your wit's end? I don't know what else to do. I don't know where else to go. Lord, I've tried this and I've tried that and I've hoped and I've prayed and I've prayed. Lord, I get to a place and I want us to realize this morning, it's all right to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Lord, there's something in here still. Lord, inspire and strengthen my faith. We can go through things in our lives We can go through battles. We can go through places in our lives that can scar us. We can go through places that can affect our faith. And the Lord wants us to realize that. Lord, if you can do anything. Lord, I'm going to come. And it almost sounds like it was a last resort here. Lord, we've tried everything else for so long. Oftentimes this comes upon him. We came to your disciples even and they couldn't do anything. Lord, maybe. Lord, if you can. Let's look at what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. You notice how Jesus turned it around? It's not a question of whether I can. But he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Folks, the power of God that he has, the power that God has that the enemy cannot overrule, that the enemy cannot go beyond, that the Lord speaks and says, let there be, and still today, all things are upheld by the word of his power. Still today, all these centuries and millennia later, it's still going as God has ordained. It's still held together by the power of his word until that time when he speaks another word and says it is finished. And the elements will be dissolved. Those things that were held together by the word of his power, when he speaks another word and dissolves the very elements, the very bonds that held everything together by the word of his power and speaking one word, you know it's all that it's going to take. Our society, our generation, our scientists, they look around and they say, maybe global warming will bring it to an end. Maybe an asteroid will bring it to an end. Maybe this, maybe that. Folks, it takes one word. It takes the Lord saying, I've had enough. It takes for the Lord to say, it is finished, it's done. Bring it all to an end right now, and everything that we've known and seen in a moment, in an instant, will be brought to an end. The power of the Word of God. But I want us to realize, I want to bring it in by the Lord's help a little more personally this morning. I want us to realize that the enemy doesn't have power to override the will of God. But we have the ability to limit what God wants to do in our lives. God has given us the authority, us the power, if we can put it that way, to limit the Lord, to limit the God of heaven, to restrict what the Lord wants to do in our lives. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible, but there's a condition. We see a condition like that many times through the scriptures. Unto the children of Israel, if you obey, if you walk in my ways, there won't be a man that's able to stand before you. There won't be a nation that's able to rise up against you. There won't be walls that are too thick for you or too high for you. Adding some of my own thoughts of what that means, there's not going to be any place that you come to, any river too wide or waters too deep, that you're not going to be able to conquer. But there's this word, if, attached to it. If you follow, if you obey. And you know, here Jesus has added that word, if, to our faith, to our belief in who God is and what he's able to do. And I want us to leave this morning with a greater understanding and realization that our faith is not an optional accessory. Our faith is not a nice to have. Without faith, the scripture says, it is impossible to please the Lord. We can't be saved without it. It requires an element of faith to be able to even come unto God, to be able to be saved. We are saved not by works, but we are saved by faith. It requires faith to come to the Father. It requires faith to be saved. But you know, there is a growth of our faith. There is a progression and a development of our faith that the Lord wants us to be able to get a hold of in a greater measure. As you follow on to know the Lord, You'll be able to see, you'll be able to know, as Hosea said, his going forth is prepared as the morning. You'll be able to understand the faithfulness of God. You'll be able to understand his workings, be able to understand and have a confidence to be, as the scripture says in Romans chapter 4 of Abraham, that he staggered not in unbelief. As he looked, he didn't look at the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't look at the conditions. He didn't look at the situations. He staggered not. And may the Lord help us today to be a people that stagger not in the face of an unbelieving world, that stagger not in the belief of skepticism in our world, or even as it gets closer to the camp of the saints, that I would be one that does not stagger in the face of all that. He staggered not in unbelief, but he was fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is able to perform. This morning, are we fully persuaded? Am I fully convinced whenever I come to the Lord in prayer? Whenever I come to the Lord in prayer, is it with a conviction and a persuasion? Or do I sometimes get into a place that I go through the motions? I know that I need to come to the Lord. I know that I need to ask the Lord about it. It's my duty to come and say, Lord, I need your help with this. But do we come to him with a full persuasion of faith? Lord, I have no doubt. I have no doubt that you're well able. I would this morning that we come before the Lord with this picture of who God is, with this persuasion of the might and the power that God has. You know, it'll change the situation. It won't change the size of the mountain, but it'll change the way I see that mountain. It's not going to change the size of the giant, but it'll change the way I see those giants. Whenever I come before the Lord, and I mentioned a moment ago, our faith is not an optional accessory. Our faith is not something that'll just earn us some bonus points, if you will. If you have this, it's a nice to have. It is essential for our salvation. It is essential for us to be able to go all the way with the Lord. May I say, without it, we said we're not going to be able to please the Lord. Without it, we're not going to be able to make it to the end faithfully, with a confidence and an assurance in our souls. Folks, the Lord does not look at our faith as being an optional thing. The Lord looks very seriously at our faith and where we put our trust. And that we put our trust in the Lord. We see that in the children of Israel as they came before the Canaan land. And whenever they came and they sent out the spies to look at the land, and the majority of them, was it 10, that came back and said, oh, there's giants in the land and walled cities in the land. And they weren't telling a lie, were they? They weren't telling something that wasn't true. They were looking at the situation. They were looking at the circumstances, the same circumstances as the two that said, yes, but wait. Don't lose faith. Don't lose hope here. We are well able. That's a full persuasion. Yes, I see the giants. Faith does not change reality. Faith does not deny reality. Faith does not just say it's not so. There's no giants in the land. I'm not going to believe it. I'm not. But faith says, regardless of the giants. Faith says, regardless of how high the mountains are, I believe in a God that's higher. I believe in a God that's mightier and that's stronger than all of that. I see those things. I feel the pain. I look at what this looks like. It looks like a very serious thing here. But Lord, I'm looking unto you. I'm not going to allow my faith to be contingent upon circumstances or symptoms or weather or the conditions that I see around. We'll be like Peter if we do that. We'll start to look at the waves and we'll begin to sink. But the Lord wants us to be able to have something that's firm. A faith, a trust, a belief in him that regardless of the waves that are roaring all around me, I've got my eyes fixed on Jesus. I'm looking unto him. Peter did fine as long as his eyes were on Jesus. But whenever he started to get them off and look around at the things that were around him, that's when his faith began to falter. And when his faith began to falter is when he started to sink into the water. Folks, the enemy would love nothing more than to get all of us to begin to sink. For all of us to begin to flounder. But remember what we said, that the enemy is not able to outpower the Lord. The enemy wasn't able to speak some word and say, "Peter, sink," while Peter was looking unto Jesus. But the enemy instead has a secondary approach. And it's the same way that he wants to work with all of us. The enemy knows that he's not going to be able to come in and just overthrow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He knows that he's not going to be able to just overthrow us while I'm full of grace and glory. So what's he going to do instead? Let's look at Psalms chapter 11. Eleventh chapter of Psalms. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. But I want us to really take heed to the third verse. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Folks, the enemy, he wants to work by undermining. The enemy can't come and tear down the building of God's hands. The scripture says, ye are God's building. Ye are God's husbandry. The enemy can't come and tear that down. But what the enemy can do, and what the enemy is trying to do in 2018, even among the church of God, is the enemy is wanting to erode. The enemy is wanting to undermine. The word undermine means literally to excavate the earth beneath. To cut away the earth underneath something, or to remove the foundation or support of anything by clandestine means. By something that's below the surface. By something that is subtle. By something that is scarcely seen, the enemy wants to come in. He's not going to go start trying to tear off, oh, he might try, tear off the roof and tear apart the walls. But if he can get in underneath the surface and begin to chip away one shovel full at a time, a little bit at a time, and start eroding away the foundation of our salvation. What is that foundation? It's Jesus Christ. But you know, that foundation, I think of the word, the scripture that says, the same word was preached unto us as was unto them. But it did not profit them. Why? It's the same word. The same word that has the same power that's never going to change. But it said it didn't have the same effect for them. It wasn't able to work in their lives like God meant it to. Because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Whenever they heard it, it wasn't mixed in faith, so it was not able to work for them. The enemy wants to cause the working of God to be hindered in my life and in our midst by a lack of belief and faith on Him. A lack of confidence and an assurance in who God is. Oh, if the enemy can come in and begin to undermine, can begin to cut away the dirt, the earth, so the foundation of our faith is Jesus Christ. But is it not really our faith in Him? Our confidence and our assurance, that's what builds my house upon that rock, is my faith and my assurance. And if you go back to what Jesus told Peter, He said, Peter, upon this rock will I build my church. You remember what He was saying in the verses preceding that? He asked him, Peter, who do men say that I am? They say this, they say that. But Peter, who do you say that I am? Regardless of what everyone else says, regardless of what everyone else believes, this is a personal salvation. Work out your own salvation in fear and in trembling that I get for the Lord. And I'm going to have to stand at some point in my experience, at some point in my life. Oh, I'm thankful for those that I can lean on. I'm thankful for those I can call. But at some point, I'm going to have to stand on my own. At some point, I'm going to have something firm and solid for myself. That now the pastor's not around. The saints aren't around. And the wave is just hit. I got to have something that's firm now. I've got to have something for myself now. Peter, who do you say that I am? It's not only about the saints. You know, we can look around and we can criticize. But the only place I can criticize when I want to look at the saints is myself. Because if I'm one of them, Lord help me that it start with me. Lord help me to examine myself. I can look around and say, well, what about this? What about that? Why do we not see more healings? Why do we not see, Lord, help me to look within me. Lord, help me to look at myself. How is my faith? How is my belief? How is my experience with you? We're not going to be able to get through this morning, but I trust that you get the burden this morning. The enemy wants to undermine. The enemy wants to pull away the mooring, the undergirding and support of our belief in the Lord. For Peter to be able to say, Lord, Thou art the Christ. I believe it. I'm convinced that You are the one that we have believed in. Jesus didn't stop until He got to that point. He didn't stop with, it wasn't good enough what everyone else thought, but Peter, what do you think? Whenever He came to that point, individually, between Him and the Lord, and Jesus told Him it's not flesh and blood, but it's the Lord that's revealed this. Faith is not a thing just of works. It's not a thing where I just grit my teeth hard enough, or if I just go through a checklist of observances, that's faith. Faith cannot be truly counterfeited. It cannot truly be manufactured of myself. But it's rooted and grounded in something. In a faith and in a belief in who God is. And a knowledge of Him. And a persuasion of who He is. Whenever Peter had that was revealed by God the Father, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. Upon this conviction, upon this faith in that chief cornerstone, it'll be what'll hold you and it'll be what'll hold me. Whenever the world doesn't believe and the world scoffs and ridicules and laughs, or be it the world, be it the enemy, be it family, or be it brother, it'll be what'll hold me. Whenever the storms come, whenever they try to beat against this house, I'm going to need something. I took note of that definition of undermine. To take away the support of anything by clandestine means. Hidden. Secret. Below the surface. And that's where the enemy is wanting to work. That's where the enemy is trying to erode away something underneath me. And whenever that happens, I may not see it immediately. Because whenever you read of the man who, well, two houses that were built, Jesus spoke about one that was built on a solid rock and one that was built on the sand. And it would sound from the story that the one built even on the sand was okay until the storms came, until the waves began to beat, the rain began to fall, and the waters began to rise, and then it wasn't enough. Folks, the fear and the burden that I have is that we can go through our lives with something that's not adequately anchored, that's not sufficiently built on this foundation, that the enemy maybe has been successful in my life, little by little, eroding away, undercutting my confidence in the Lord, introducing a little bit of doubt, a little bit of question in who God is and what God is able to do. And if we allow the enemy to undermine, the time will come, the storms will come, the waves will beat, and I surely don't want our houses to fall, to crash, and the Lord doesn't. The Lord has planned and designed for us to have an experience so that it doesn't have to, that it can withstand whatever might come, but we're going to have to be built on a foundation. How firm a foundation we have in the Lord that we can have that can be solid and sure and steadfast. May God help us that we be strong in faith, that we can be built on that foundation. You pray for me. Amen.